So today we celebrate the high school graduation of seven young men. And when I heard that I had the opportunity to speak to seven young men who were about to enter into the world to do something great, that's the dangers of tassels. They tell you if you're a superhero, don't wear a cape if you have the tassel. But anyway, back to point. So as a man who has not quite finished the race, I would like to speak to the idea of how to finish the race well. You are beginning the race. I am about halfway finished. There are others of you that may be further along, but I wanted to be like the Apostle Paul, who knew when he was facing his last days, he said this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so how does a man finish well? You're not thinking about the end, but I want you to start the beginning by thinking about the end, because you have to finish well. So I want to give you 10 things to think about, things that will help you to finish well. Number one, invest your life in something that is noble. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of your life to accomplish something or not. It's your choice. 63 years to accomplish something. So starting right now, you have, here's some statistics, right? You have to have these in these type of messages. 33,112,800 minutes. 552 to, and this is assuming you live to be 80. That's just to help with those of you who are right brain or whatever. 552 hours, 100,000 hours, 23,011 days. So what do you do with all that time? What do you do, right? You want to build something. But build something that will last. Build something that you will get the most return of your work. You're going to put in a life's work into something. Countless young men have spent years of their youth building their own little empire, only to, when they get middle age or older, watch it crumble and disappear. They neglect the eternal kingdom, which lasts forever. There will be a time when you begin to see the sands in that hourglass of time begin to move faster and faster and faster. I don't want you to have any years where you look back and go, man, I totally wasted that time. So starting from the very beginning, starting from your first step, you can find something noble to invest your life in and start early. Number two, when you fail, get back up. Anything that has the potential for change or opportunity, expansion, gain will always involve risk. So with something new, there's the potential for pain, embarrassment, and financial loss. In the economic market, if you play it safe, there's small returns. If you want to have big returns, you got to take big risks. And so there's going to be a time in your life when you're like, I want to accomplish something big. I want to do something. And so you jump out and you make the big jump. Nobody else around you is doing it, so you decide to do it. You jump out, you make the risk, and you're going to fall. You don't make it. Thomas Edison had 2,774 failures before he had the final version of the light bulb. He discovered to make it sustainable. So find something worth investing your life in and keep pushing, keep innovating, keep building. No matter how many times you fail, you get back up. If you're building something, there will come a time when the floor beneath you will collapse, and it will feel as though your whole life you're just free-falling. It's going to happen. If you try something big, you're going to fail, and you're going to have that moment where everything underneath you collapses. You get back up, and you keep going, and you keep doing the difficult things. Theodore Roosevelt said, and this is his famous speech, The Contender. He says, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles and where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends his life in a worthy cause? So devote yourself into something noble and keep at it, even if you fail. And number three, be careful who you listen to for advice. If you want to be a successful doctor, go talk to a successful doctor. If you want to be a successful lawyer, go talk to a successful lawyer. Whatever it is, that noble task that you want to set your mind toward, go talk to someone who has succeeded at it, because everyone will give you advice on how you should do something, including me today, right? Everybody's going to give you advice in this life about how you should do this or that, but the wise person will allow, don't, but be wise in who you allow to take up space in your head. Who is going to guide you? Who is going to give you advice? Don't waste your life and time on people who don't know what they're talking about. I want to give you a quick reference out of 1 Kings. This is chapter 12. There's this young king, and his dad was Solomon. His name is Rehoboam. He's just become king. The elders of the town come to him, and they ask him to make. They want to ask something of him. This is his first decision as a king. First thing, Rehoboam went to Shechem, and all of Israel had come to Shechem to make him king, and so they make him king. And then they called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said, "Your father," that's Solomon, "made a yoke heavy, and therefore lighten the hard service of your father and this heavy yoke that's on us, and we will serve you." And he said to them, "Go away for 3 days and then come back again." So the young king makes a good choice. He goes, "Hey, let me think about this for a minute. Come back in 3 days." They come back. And so in the meantime, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. Like, that's the guys that were around Solomon, the old guys, the old timers, right? "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they said, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel of the old timers. And he went and he talked to his friends, the young timers. "What do you advise that we answer? Lighten the father your yoke?" And the young man who had grown up with him said this, "Thus you shall speak to this people who said to you, 'Your father made your yoke heavy.' My father is thicker than my father's, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid upon a heavy yoke, I will add to yours." So the young guys, his buddies, the guys he grew up with, they said, "You need to double down on being tough." 3 days later, the elders gather back around him. He decides to go with the advice from his younger friends. They go away mad. The entire kingdom splits. And that's really the only decision that he ever made as a king, because from then on, everything collapses. So who you allow to come into your head to give you advice is very important. Very important. Number four, be disciplined. You become whatever you allow your heart to pursue. If you get up and go running one time, guess what you are? You're just tired. If you get up and go running 3 days a week for a year, guess what you are? You're a runner. You become that which you put your heart toward. And so anything of great value is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you effort, sweat, tears, sacrifice, relationship with other people. You cannot accomplish something of great value and have everything your heart wants. You have to make choices. And there's some things that your heart is going to desire that if you follow it will lead you right off a cliff to destruction. And so you have to say, "I have to make a choice." Discipline is deciding there is something worth doing, the noble task that you put your heart behind, and you direct your heart toward it. You set goals, you make lists, you learn how to educate yourself about it, you put money toward it, you build it, and whatever noble task that might be, whether it be a family, or a marriage, or a friendship, or a business, or a career, or a ministry, whatever it is you want to put your heart toward, the quality of what you are building is directly related to the discipline that you put toward it. Things of good quality don't just happen. It takes time. It takes effort. It includes even your reputation as a man. Fifthly, I would encourage you to plant a garden. You take a seed and you put it in the ground, and it takes weeks for that plant to pop up. And then it takes months before you're able to get any kind of produce or fruit from that plant. In the meantime, you've got to watch over it. You've got to water it. You've got to keep animals from coming and eating it. You've got to keep insects off of it. You've got to protect it. You've got to watch over it. So you can't just plant the seed and leave. You have to tend the garden. And most things of value in life are like a garden. Growth takes time. Relationships take time. Those things that are important have to be protected. They have to be cultivated. And you don't just get stuff. You have to invest time and resources to produce something of quality. Number six, be careful who you allow into your castle. Be incredibly careful and diligent in what you allow into that noble task that you are building. As a husband, a father, you are charged with protecting your family. You stand guard at the gate. Don't allow destruction into your home. You are building something, whether it be a ministry or a business or even a new idea. You've got this thing that's in your head that you want to make into something. You have to be diligent to who you let into the gate. There's going to come a day when you see a young woman, and you may even build up the courage to go and talk to this young lady. And she's beautiful. And after spending time with her, you begin to realize that her values and life direction don't line up with your values in your life direction. And so you got to make a choice. And that decision ends one of three ways. One, you part ways. Number two, she gives up her values in life skill and direction and goes to you, or you give up your values in life direction and you move to her. That's the only three ways it could go. You can't stay together and go in opposite directions at the same time. The Bible describes it this way, as a yoke, which is this wooden beam that's placed across two animals, large animals like oxen, and it helps them work together, helps them work equally. They carry the burden of the work together, and it would be attached to a plow or a cart, and you would pull, but you would simultaneously be partners in that effort. And basically, you're teamed up together. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked. That's that idea of attaching yourself to someone who is an unbeliever. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And this is not just dating relationships, right? Business relationships, church relationships, all that you are building your life upon, this direction that you're going, don't allow yourself to get entangled in relationships that will pull you away from the eternal. That laying for yourselves up treasures in heaven. To the lost world, these things seem foolish and frivolous. Find people who can pull in the same direction as you. There are people, and this is as an aside, there are people who love to kick down the sandcastles that you are building. They love it. They absolutely love it. They are in every church, every business, and everywhere you go. These people don't build. They only look for ways to tear down and others what other people are building. They stand to the side, and they criticize, and they tell you your idea won't work and how it's not going to be successful and all these different things. And so as you are guarding who you allow into the castle that you are building, make sure that you keep those out who would burn it to the ground. It's okay to say no to destructive people in your life. It's okay. You say, nope, you're not going to be a part of what I'm doing. I can't allow you into the castle. Number seven, your character is what determines your success. Since I have been in ministry many years ago in seminary, those guys that were with me in seminary, many of them have not made it today. They're not in it anymore. It's not their inability to keep up with technology. It's not their ability to sway crowds with wonderful words. It's not their ability to charm people with a smile. What got them in the end, what kept them from finishing the race, was their character. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it. Guarding it. According to your word, with your whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up in your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The first time you take something that's not yours to take, or you exaggerate something to make yourself look better, or you linger too long with someone's spouse that's not your own, and your heart goes pitter-patter, pitter-patter, you are on a downward path, and it's one that leads to your own destructions. And those things that have nothing to do with degrees or diplomas on the wall, this thing that I'm not talking about that, right? It's completely different. Don't allow a short-term emotional temptation to wreck what you were about to build for decades. That you're building something. Don't allow it to be wrecked. Number eight, you need to have three men in your life. You have three men. Most successful men that I know don't go around giving advice, but they're willing to share it if they're asked. I have known some wonderful men that have invested in me as a young leader, but they did not approach me. I had to approach them. And if you want to be a successful whatever, you fill in the blank, right? You go and you talk to someone who's successful at that, and you say, hey, can I take you out to lunch? Right? And you buy their lunch, right? You buy their lunch, and you ask them for help me out. I've got this idea that I want to get off the ground. I've got this business I want to try. I'm doing these things. Can you help me? And most of the time, they will. So, but as a man, you need three men in your life. Number one is a Paul. You need somebody that's gone before you, and whatever it is you're putting your hand to the task to do, you need that Paul, the Apostle Paul, right? He's your mentor. He's the person that's gone before you. He's the example that you're following. Second person, you need a Barnabas. The Barnabas is the guy that's standing beside you, who is your friend, who is going to hold you accountable, who's going to encourage you. You're going to encourage him. He's your friend. Everybody needs a friend. And number three, you need a Timothy. And the Timothy is the guy that's younger than you that you're investing into. And you say, well, Pastor Drew, I hadn't even started taking my first step yet. There's guys that are younger than you, right? They're in the grades behind you that you can go back and say, hey, I want to help you make it to the end like I did. So you need three men. Number nine, keep these two things on you all the time. Number one, a joke. You need a joke. And notice I haven't told a joke, which probably should have done that. But that's okay. I'm not going to bore you with a joke. You just need to have a joke. Life is, I actually did a joke over here, but I don't tell you what it is. Life is hard, and when you bring joy and laughter into people's life, it makes their life easier. Guys, life is hard. If people associate you with laughter and joy, then when you show up, your presence will simply make their lives better, make it easier. So take the load off of others. Look for a way to bring joy and encouragement to other people, and a way to do that, easy way, is a joke. The second thing you need to keep on you all the time is a pocket knife. Keep a pocket knife on, except when you go to the airport, stuff like that. I'm just saying, in general life, keep a pocket knife on you every day of your life, and if you have it, you're going to use it. I use mine every day. And there's going to be people around you who will say, hey, do you have your pocket knife on you? Actually, yes, I do. Can I borrow it? No, but I will help you do whatever it is you need to do. Right? That is going to remind you. The pocket knife is going to remind you not to just sit around and wait for others to move, but you will say, hey, I could tighten that screw. I could wedge that thing apart. I could fix this. Right? The simple fixes. If you will find and look for simple fixes in the organization that's around you, you're going to be known as the guy who fixes the little things, that will then move you on to help you fix the bigger things. Add value to whatever team that you're on. Look for ways to improve. And number 10, here's your final one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. If you will do that every day of your life, and you put the Lord first in all the things that you do, no matter what the future may bring, no matter what task you put your hand to, He will go before you, and He loves you far more than you ever will love Him. And He has a purpose and plan for you that is beyond anything your comprehension, and He desires to do great things through you. So, thank you for letting me speak to you. 10 things to think about, and I look forward to seeing what you guys build into the future. God bless you.